Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Keeping It Real with Cindy. I know a little strange today, I didn't play a song, but we have Robinette, and she's doing pet readings for us today. I wanted to clarify something on air. We're getting a lot of callers, I think, that are just wanting readings. And this particular show, you have to post a picture of your pet on Keeping It Real with Cindy, and Robinette will look at those pictures. Actually, over there, I've got it, the instructions lined out. It's very easy. You just post the pet's name, whether how old they are or if they're still with us, and the pet's name, preferably by themselves. And then Robinette can look at those pictures and do a reading for your pet. So for all of the callers that were hoping just for mediumship or psychic readings, those we're not doing on this show today. So sorry, guys, but stick around and listen, because I think this is going to be a really amazing show with the pets. And Robinette, a lot of you that listen to my show know Robinette. She's a psychic medium, an animal communicator. She's got all the gifts that you can have, I think. I just love Robinette, just as you guys do. She was taught by world-renowned psychic medium Lisa Williams, but also some others. She's also a Reiki master in therapeutic touch and uses her gifts with the animals as well as with people. And without further ado, by the way, you can find Robinette at, this is really easy, www.robinettemeyer.com. And with no further ado, I'm going to bring Robin on air. Hi, Robin.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. It was a little confusing. We have so many callers that I think we're just looking for your basic psychic medium reading. And so I wanted to clarify that right from the start. And there is someone, and I'm not sure if you can do this or not, but there was a caller that went over and posted a picture of her pet underneath the others.
We'll
see how that goes. Go ahead.
Okay, is that the one that just posted, Miss Laura Clark posted a question about Coda? Or posted a picture of it, but there was no question. If she could post a question and tell me the age of Coda, we'll see if we get to that one. That'll be probably the last one we do, because I'm going to try to do all these in order as they were listed.
Oh, which is great. And so, Laura, if you heard that, can you run back over there and post their ages and your question to Robinette about your babies? Anyway, so there's, I think, we have a few callers online that posted pets. I know some of them are not going to call in, like Ken. He's in the chat room, and I know he's number one up, and he said he would just respond from the chat room, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Well, first I want to say, hey, Ken, how are you doing? Ken and I go back a little bit. I did a reading for him about a year ago for one of his rescue dogs named Ernie. Ernie just happened to be familiar to him, which I will get into that later. I don't know if that's a real name. It's what I call a pet that has been tied to you in the past, maybe past lives. A definite deep soul and heart connection. Someone that... a pet that, we'll get to that. But
okay.
Ernie,
and Ken,
the dog that I...
Ken had to refresh. He has some computer issues, and he couldn't hear the show, so he's refreshing.
Okay. All right.
And that happens now and again. So anybody, I just told everybody if they couldn't hear to refresh from the chat room.
Okay.
And so we might want to give them a minute on that, but... While we're waiting, tell me, you're doing something coming up here soon, aren't you?
Oh, well, as far as, like, teaching the classes, and I've been teaching I've been teaching, I have an animal communication class that's coming up that I'll be teaching in Port Gamble, Washington. I just had one this weekend, which was an intuitive psychic development class, and that went great. We had so much fun. And then I plan on having a mediumship class and, just a lot of different classes. And I'm also going to school to be being trained in being a rock and roll disc jockey on KPTZ 91.9 FM Fort Townsend.
I love that.
I grew up listening to Casey Kasem on Sunday afternoon, and mm-hmm. I loved, had this want to be a disc jockey like him, because he always told stories about the bands and gave you trivia and information and educated everybody who was listening. And I thought, I want to do that. And it was on my want list for my entire life since I was about 14 or so. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna do it. So I walked into KPTZ and said, I want to be a rock and roll disc jockey. And they said, welcome. So that worked out really well.
I'm listening to him, too. Yeah.
Oh, Casey Kasem, just God bless his heart and rest his soul. He, in fact, he actually passed away out here in Washington.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. You know, I've been interviewing Key West musicians, so that's been really fun for me to, you know, to try to get something that nobody knows. And I have one coming up the first part of August. But, it's a lot more fun than, you know, I just thought, I have all these musicians here because I think Key West is known to have more music venues than any other city in the United States. And we're a 2x4 island. We have so many that, you know, I'll probably be using a walker by the time I get to the end of them. But it's been a lot of fun. And so I think Ken finally came back, if you want to repeat what you were saying to him.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I was just saying that I had done a reading for Ken's dog, Ernie, almost a year ago. And hopefully helped in some way. But tonight, Ken wants Shaggy read, and Shaggy is his dog. He's 8 years old. And Ken's question is, how can I make him more comfortable as he ages? Well, Ken, awesome question. That's a great question. First of all, when I tapped into his energy, I just want you to know that he's a very happy dog. He says that you listen to him quite well. And I do know, Ken, that you are one of these natural animal communicators. It just comes to you naturally. You don't have that. You hear your dogs. You understand your dogs. You definitely have a good relationship with them. What you can do for him to make him more comfortable as he ages. He's impressing upon me that he's having some hip issues, which is, you know, really common for the larger dogs, especially labs. Soft places to land is the best thing that you can do for him for comfort, the beds and you know, keep his hips warm. He also tells me that he likes to lay on the cold concrete floor, but that's basically just to cool down. And then he likes to get up and he likes the carpet or a rug or a bed. He is a very, very sweet dog, very sweet dog. And the hip issues, like, again, they're very common. And he's not impressing upon me where it's severe pain, but next time you're at a veterinary, I would definitely have him, you know, check out the hips. It might be something where you can just give him just a little, you know, I'm not sure exactly, but like a part of a Rimadyl or something that they would prescribe for something like that. But just keep him comfortable as far as he likes to lay on soft things is what he's telling me. So pretty easy on that one. You know, he's happy. He's very happy. He's extremely happy. And like I said, Ken, you're a natural. I'm going to be teaching animal communication classes, and people like you pick it up instantly. I mean, the things that I would tell you in the class, you would be like, I already know that.
because you do. Mm-hmm. You already know that. You are a natural.
And
just
want to
say, Ken.
He just said in the chat room, well, you should see him wag his tail. No doubt he has a hip issue.
Aha. Ha. Okay. So the tail isn't wagging probably as freely as it should be, and it's probably a little stiff of a wag there. But, yeah, I would definitely have that checked out. And again, it's usually pretty simple as far as keeping him out of pain. You know, sometimes it's just a half of a Rimadyl or something that can do it, you know, and just release that, the tension, you know, and just have him move more. It's a shame that bigger dogs usually suffer from that hip dysplasia. It's so debilitating because their body wears out long before their mind does. You know, they're still a puppy in their mind, and yet their body is not moving as well. Not just the mind, actually. But that's what I got from Shaggy. What an excellent dog. Very sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Yeah, I thought so too. He says he whips his tail.
He whips his tail.
It is a whip, is what he said in the chat room. And that great information, though, for Ken and Shaggy. So I think, yeah, if he brings him to the vet, you should probably have that hip checked out and see what's going on with that.
Yeah, and it's very common. It's nothing that, you know, it's just common. It's just a real common ailment in the larger dogs, unfortunately. But easily, you know, you can easily help them to get through their stiffness and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. My sister's dog had that. She had a beautiful, I can't remember what kind of a dog was, but it was a bigger dog, and it had such hip problems. And it's gone now, but it was similar as what you just described.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I loved her dog. Of course, I love all dogs, but anyway.
Yeah, it's a real shame that it's a real shame that their hips go. You know, it's like I said, they're mine. They're still a puppy, you know, and mm-hmm. they still want to play and get up and run, and they can't, and it's just a real sad situation. But yeah, just to make him comfortable. Yeah, just keep him comfy. Great dog.
Ken,
dog.
Ken says, thank you. He's a good dog.
Yep, he is.
So the next one up
is Miss Rebecca. Miss Rebecca has a approximately five-year-old cat named Felix. And she writes, what is causing him to stress so much that is causing him to get serious crystals in his urine? His urine issue. Please, she says, please. He's cost me $3,500 already this year in vet bills, fighting and getting injured constantly, stress medication and a possible surgery and a pussy Prozac if he's not careful. Whew. I'd love to know what the issue is before he's put under more stress flying to his new home in the States. Thank you so much in advance. And that his guardian would be ever so grateful if I can help out with this. Well, I had to laugh about the pussy Prozac because in the picture that you posted, Miss Rebecca, he looks like he's already on it.
Yeah,
it's a
he does,
sweet picture. But
yeah.
With this, the stress in the urinary crystals, definitely that's a veterinarian thing, and I don't claim to be a vet. I am not a veterinarian, and I'm not afraid to say, you know, this is a veterinarian issue that needs to be taken care of as far as the urinary crystals. But Felix is impressing upon me the big changes that have been happening in his world. He's telling me that he's the type of cat that doesn't adapt well to change. Now, most cats will adapt to change pretty easily. Animals will in general. But not Felix. He's one of those that is just, he doesn't like change, and he just doesn't like it one bit. So there's been huge shifts in his world, in the energy around him. He's not a happy camper.
He is basically longing and yearning for routine, and he's like craving just a mellow routine. He just wants to be settled. He's missing his mama, so Miss Rebecca, you're definitely being missed by Felix. Would I recommend Pussy Prozac for the long flight over to the States? I would definitely talk to your veterinarian about it. That would be probably a good, they would probably give him, if it wasn't the Prozac, would probably be something that would relax him for the trip. Definitely, you know, I think it'd be a good idea. But with Felix, it's all about the energy shifts. He's just not, he's not a happy camper. He's not as happy as he was when it was just, you know, you and him and you were in the school. So I think everything with that is going to settle down just fine once, you know, once normalcy comes back into the picture. So, but Felix is just one of those, he's just one of those, rare animals that just doesn't adapt to change very easily. Much like humans, you know, most of us will adapt, but then there's some that just, they just don't like it, you know, and he just happens to be one of them. So it will remedy itself, you know, once normalcy comes back into the family life. So, oh yes, Miss Rebecca, thank you for posting that.
And she's in the chat room also. And she says, thank you. And she asks, is it another cat causing the stress? Although she said everything you said, that was true about him with changes. She also says the next door neighbor's cat died, and he was trying to take the territory. A whole lot of another cat, wait a minute, a whole lot of another cats have been taking him on. Had to get rid of a foster cat just for that reason. He didn't like her. And so I guess her question is it another cat causing the stress or part of the stress?
I think that could be a part of it, definitely. Because, again, that's another shift in the energy field. You know, the cat next door died. Other cats are kind of taking over the territory. It's just a shift in the energy. He's really craving and yearning for mellowness. He wants to be a mellow cat. He really wants to be a mellow cat. But I don't feel like he's going to be that loving, mellow cat until everything is settled down. So hopefully when Felix gets over here to the States, everything will just work out just fine, and he won't need any Prozac. And again, like with the crystals and the urine, boy, that's definitely a veterinarian question, you know. I don't even attempt to do anything. What I could say is, you know, that a health issue with an animal, when I'm reading, they will impress upon me a pain or a discomfort, and I can tell the owner where that is, you know, they're in their hips or if it's in their paw or whatever. But I usually do not like to diagnose because that's just not it's not my place. I leave it up to the professional veterinarian. So,
And that makes sense. And she says, awesome sauce. That's what she's hoping for, life on a farm. So,
awesome sauce, Miss Rebecca. Excellent. Life on a farm. That's perfect. Felix will be so happy.
Good. So, I hope that answered your questions, Rebecca. And it sounds like he'll be just fine once he gets that relaxed to that relaxed place where he can just kick back. It's kind of like
because he really wants to be mellow. He really is wanting to be relaxed and mellow, and life is good. And life on a farm would be just perfect, you know. So, I think he'll be just fine when he gets over here. I really do.
And so Ken is funny. He's like, I want that too. Ken said that. He's like, I want that too. But he's kind of funny. But anyway, I hope that helps. She says thank you. So, You get so much information. This is just amazing to me how much you get on these animals. But our next one was who? Robin?
Oh, the next
no,
one.
No, Sharon. Sharon.
Sharon Kuba. Is it Kuba or
and
Kuba?
She's actually online. She's
oh,
holding.
Excellent.
So I just, well, wait a minute. I'm looking for her. Here she is.
Well, she brings,
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I can't get the chat room on my computer. I can see the blank screen, but I can't get into
chat.
Yeah, that's
the same with me. The same with me. I can't see any of the questions. I'm just looking at a blank screen, too, so I'm in the same boat you are. So we'll get through this.
Okay.
Blog
for
talk,
me.
You know.
Yeah. So Ms.
Sorry.
Sharon, first of all, I want to say I'm very sorry for your loss with Taya.
Thank you.
It says that your Taya crossed over on April 8th of this year. It was her her 12th birthday. And your
and
question is,
sudden.
Is she?
Yeah.
And your question is, well, is she coming back to me? Well, first
yeah.
of all, I want to say, and this is a dog, okay, and 12 years old, just so people out there know what we're talking about. Okay. First, the way you spell Taya is excellent. I've never seen it spelled like that.
It's Native American for precious.
It's just, it's great. Great spelling on that. Okay, so this is what we have on your dog.
Mm-hmm.
When I tap into her energy, and even though she's in the afterlife now, I get an overwhelming amount of love and sweetness and love. Just, I mean, hearts galore. This dog was what I would refer to as your familiar. And now this is a label that I put on this. It's a familiar to me is an animal. Okay, we all have, just say, for instance, you have pets throughout your life, and you love them because they're your pets and they're your babies. But then that one animal comes along that just touches your soul and your heart so deep that it's like you've known them from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
And my belief is that you will be together again in however many lives you have left. A familiar to me is such a deep bond that, you know, you were supposed to be together in this life. And that saying of, you know, I adopted a dog. Well, chances are that dog adopted you, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You were not only a teacher, but you were also her student. She taught you so many valuable lessons in her, you know, short 12 years. She taught you lessons that and got you through times of rough times. She was always there for you. She was like your right hand. You know, you could always count on her love.
Yep.
When you were ever in doubt of anything else or any other love, you knew that Taya was there for you. The bond is just so deep. Again, I want to say that she is your familiar, a bond deeper than the other dogs that you may have had, or, you know, like I said, you love them all, but there's that one that just goes a little bit deeper. Now, I did this reading the other day, so if it sounds like I'm reading off notes, I actually am. Let's see. Definitely about. Do I feel like she will come back to you in this lifetime? When I tapped into her, I feel that she is going to be with you in other lifetimes. But in this lifetime, I feel that she is going to be responsible for bringing you your next dog, one that needs you, but one that you need. And when you find this dog, you will know without a doubt that Taya is working her magic, and that's the dog you're supposed to have. So that is what she's impressing upon me. So you may not get her back in this life, and I could be wrong on that. You know, you might get her back in this life, but I do feel that you've had past lives together, you'll have more lives together, and I do feel that she will bring you your next dog that, again, you two need each other, that you need, and that this other dog's going to need you. And again, you You won't even question it. When you see this dog, you're going to feel Taya's energy and go, oh, wow, this is the dog I'm supposed to have.
Okay.
So, and very sweet. Oh, my goodness. That dog was very,
yeah.
very sweet. Very sweet soul. Very
when
sweet.
She, it was sudden. And she was fine on Monday and sick on Tuesday. And they did surgery on Thursday. And she cardiac arrested on her birthday. And the vet who owns the practice, he actually had he called me. He never calls anybody because he has all his other people do that. But I've
mm-hmm.
been with the practice for 28 years. So, you know, we have a great, you know, relationship. And he
yeah.
had to call me and tell me. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's her birthday. Like, I have her birthday presents here. And, you know, and I almost killed myself literally on accident coming down the stairs because I just almost passed out coming down the stairs to tell my husband. It was 6 o'clock in the morning he called me.
Oh.
And, yeah, so it was a mucus plug in her gallbladder that doesn't happen in little 5-pound poodles. It happens in Shelties.
Oh.
I know. So it really, yeah, took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I just lost my 18-year-old cat last week.
But it
wasn't sudden. Yeah, thank you. It wasn't sudden. It was he's been having kidney problems. He was working off of just a quarter of a kidney for the past year and a half. So, you know, and he was 18. But he was a real trooper. He was a real trooper, and it was a real beautiful passing. We had the veterinarian come out to the house, and it was beautiful and peaceful and, you know, as beautiful and peaceful as I can be, I guess. It was, you know, with things like this, I'm spiritually okay with death. I almost get excited for their next journey. It's that human side that I have a tough time dealing with, that human side of loss and missing, and I get stingy and I don't want to let them go. I want them to stay. But spiritually, I feel wonderful for anyone who's passing. I'm actually happy for them. But
I just don't think she
body,
wanted to go. That's what I just feel, but what do I know?
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, we're just so lost. She was our third loss in 3 weeks short of a year. We lost 3 dogs. We had a 4-dog pack. And so I have Luna, the lunatic, Petunia, whatever. She has a million names. And so she's kind of lost. And my daughter just brought home, after a year, they got another puppy. They brought him home today. They don't live with us, but he'll be here babysitting me. I'll be taking care of him. And, yeah, yay, he's going to be a 120-pound white lab. He's not little. And so Luna was really, really receptive and like, oh, my God, a friend. Because even though Taya was 5 pounds and Luna is 45 pounds, they slept together and, you know, they were the last two of the pack. Luna or Taya was the pack leader. The 5-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
She read.
Mm-hmm.
She was the pack leader from minute get go. So, you know, it's been a big loss for everybody. And Luna will no longer play with toys. She will not touch a toy.
Yeah.
So it's a big loss. It's hard to deal with. And I know that, you know, yeah, spiritually it's a good thing. But the human side of me, I want her back.
Yes. Yes.
Life
definitely.
Isn't right. It just is not. You know, it's just that missing. I still feel her. I still think I see her. I think I hear her.
So when you do you ever see out of the corner of your eye, you see something go by and you look real quick and nothing's there. Please know that that's her. If that happens to you, that's her spirit there. And if you feel like this happened to me the night before last, I felt my cat that just passed jump up on bed. I felt the bed, the divot in the bed. I felt him come up and cuddle with me. And I turned on my little tap light to see if it was my other cat, Twinkle, and absolutely no one was there. Nobody was there. There was no cat there. But I knew it was Louie. And, of course, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm weeping into my pillow on the puddle on the floor because I missed him and he had just been gone for 3 days. But if that happens, you know, do know
every
that
day.
That
it happens
not.
Every day.
Excellent. Share with me what's happened that other people that who are listening can, you know, maybe relate to this if they've suffered. How what kind of signs have you been getting?
Oh well, it started with my other poodle, Heidi, who always was like a dragonfly after she passed. I always saw dragonflies,
mm-hmm.
and then I got Taya, who Then this Monday, a dragonfly followed me around the yard for 2 hours. I don't mean just bugs. I mean she was right behind me. Everywhere I stopped, she'd stop.
Oh, I
love that. She'd sit next to me. And I finally said, well, are you going to come on my finger or are you just going to hang around? And she just kept hanging around. But, like, I just picked up her bed today because of the new puppy coming. Not that I wanted to put the bed away, but I didn't want him chewing her toys because I'm not ready for that. But I look out the corner of my eyes, and I swear I see her running to her bed and grabbing her toy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or I hear the bells on her neck, on her necklace.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, my daughter sees it, my husband sees it, my granddaughter sees it. So it's not just me.
Excellent. I'm so glad that everybody in your family is open to receive the messages and the signs, because so many people are not. You know, they send signs, and a lot of people goes right over their head. They don't take the time to allow, you know, to accept these signs and be aware of them coming through.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful that you're open-minded enough to not only receive them, but also your husband and daughter and granddaughter. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're a real spiritual family, so everybody, my son's dog is on the borderline of, is she going to be crossing soon or not? And he stopped over with her today, and, you know, she wouldn't eat for him, but she ate for me. And, you know, I said, you know, she knows, you know, it's all good. And, you know,
yeah.
My son's like, I'm with peace with this, and, you know, I just don't want her to suffer. And it's like, you know, they went out and ordered me one of those stars and had it named after Taya the day she died.
Oh, beautiful.
I know. And I like Pegasus, and the star's original name was Pegasus, which was kind of ironic.
Really?
I don't believe in coincidence. I know that it was supposed to be. But, you know, people just have to be more open. That's just all it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one of those stars, too, so I know what you mean. Wow, that's great. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing all this information with us.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you,
Sherry. Sorry I couldn't get on the chat room to chat with people.
Oh, it's okay. I know Blog Talk sometimes is stubborn, so
it's been giving me trouble for the last few years, so thank you.
You bet, Ms. Sharon. Thank you, Ms. Sharon, for calling in.
Bye-bye.
All right, next up.
That was amazing, all the signs. If we have time at the end of the show, I got to tell you about one of mine later. But I don't think the next one is online, so I'm just going to write down the time so she knows to come in. Come in,
okay.
Look at this. And
so that would
okay.
That would be Miss Nancy Jacobs, right?
And I do know her. She's a foster, and she takes care of dogs, and she fosters dogs, and they just adore dogs, both her and her husband.
Wonderful. Oh, good people. Well, she is asking about her Pomeranian dog, a three-year-old, and I laughed so hard when she listed the name. The name is Jake from State Farm.
I know, I did too.
So if everybody out there is familiar with that commercial, that just absolutely cracked me up. What are you wearing, Jake from the State Farm? So her question is that he's a rescue male pom, and he's nervous with strangers. He has bitten my friend and tried to bite several others. What can Perry and I do to help him to get over his fear? He's three. Okay, so when I tapped into Jake from State Farm's energy about the nervousness and the bitiness, he definitely has trust issues, and I do believe this is from one of his past owners. I feel that this dog was mistreated. I don't want to say, well, any type of mistreatment to an animal to me is abuse, but I don't want to say, some people think that, you know, the word abuse is like you beat bloody or something. And I don't feel that, but I do feel that that Jake's had just definitely some trust issues. And I do believe it's come from the past owners that he's had. He's had a lot of changes in his short life. basically too many changes in his short life. I feel that he is very close to your husband, and your husband's energy is really good. Jake feels really safe with your husband, very safe. That's his, like, go-to person. When you have, when you're an animal and you have trust issues, you usually bond basically with one person really deep. And then, you know, if you learn to trust the rest, that's awesome, but it's usually a very good connection with one person that they feel safe with. So with this, I think it just happens to be your husband. The good news, all this is fixable. He is, again, one of these animals that yearns for structure and routine. And with a dog, it's a really good idea to give him a job, a daily job. I don't care if it's to put a ball in his mouth and take him for a walk. I had a dog that his job was every day when we went for a walk, he took the ball for a walk. And that was his job, and he had to do it every day. And he was completely happy and satisfied with that, that job. Something simple. But what I would do to help with this trust issue, since I feel like he's very bonded with your husband, I feel if you could slowly, and this is just a for instance, say if your husband, you know, have your husband work with him first, and then you slowly start in. So, for instance, if you walk every day at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, have your husband do it for 3 days, and then you do it on the fourth day. And then have your husband do it for a couple days, and then you do it for a couple of days. So you're kind of weaning yourself into his little safety zone. It's all fixable, and I think he's going to be absolutely just fine. With this biting, you have to retrain the brain. So immediately when he starts biting, distance yourself from him and ignore Jake. And I mean 100%. I mean no eye contact, zero talking, zip. Don't say a word. Just ignore him when he bites. And continue this until Jake has noticed, and he will notice that he's being ignored. And he will start thinking, now, did I do something wrong to be ignored by the pack leader or by my mom, you know, or my dad? What did I do? And then he'll start thinking about it. And then wait a few minutes before you start engaging him back into the conversation. Just let him think about it. And then if he nips again, start over again. Do the distance and ignore. And when he behaves good, give him a reward. But once it's learned, once he's really stopped biting, don't reward him. Just give him praise. Reward him. We don't have to give him a snack every time or a little treat. In the beginning, training him with a little nibble, a little treat like that is excellent. But once he learns it, you know, like I said, you can just praise him, and that'll be enough for him he'll be satisfied with the sweet words that you're going to say. You know, this could take a week, it could take a month, but it is fixable, and he will learn it.
Okay, great.
So, Jake from State Farm. Great name.
They're funny like that. They are. They're hilarious, but they've always got numerous rescues and fosters, and then they babysit too. And so they're a really great couple. Yeah,
I was going to say, you know, that really tells a lot about their character. You know, someone who loves animals that much and opens their not only their heart to them, but their complete, you know, home to them, you know, and that's mm-hmm. and off to them. That's just fantastic. So Miss Nancy Jacobs, there you go, Jake from State Farm. I hope some of that information helps.
Thank you.
I know, you bet. I know we have like 20 minutes and we have a few more to go, so I'm going to go to the next
just
one.
Just go with it. All right. And she's on the line. Do you want me to bring her on or?
Oh, sure. That's awesome.
Okay,
you bet.
We've
bring
got, and it's Mary, right? I think it's Mary. Yeah, Mary Ellen.
No, Nancy? Oh, wait, the next one is Mary Ellen. Okay, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
Mary Ellen's on the line, so I'll bring her
all
on.
All right.
Hey, Mary, it's Cindy and Robin.
Hi. Thank you. Hi. This is Mary Ellen.
Hi, Mary Ellen. How are you doing today?
Great.
Good. Well, you posted a picture of Ziva, and she's age 5, and she's a dog. And you said she's not very social.
No, she's not affectionate.
She's not affectionate, so she's not very social. Like most dogs, does she just prefer to be petted, or is she unhappy, scared, or just happy doing her own thing without a lot of interaction with other animals or people? Okay, when I tapped into Ziva, sweet baby, by the way, when I tapped into Ziva, well, let's just say animals are a lot like people. Some are very outgoing, and then others tend to be more of a loner. Just like some people are good talkers and others are pretty quiet. She is more of a reserved loner dog is what I would call her. She does her own little thing. You know, she's not very social. No, she's not. She's just very, what I would call like a wallflower, you know. She would just as soon be in her own little space and kind of observe. And she's, was there competition in the household when you first got Ziva? Was there other animals or some kind of competition?
Yeah, there's a lot of other animals in the house.
Okay. All right, because that's what she's saying too. That there's she's definitely in competition with other dogs. Well, you know, some people don't like to be in competition. You know, they don't like to socialize and stuff like that. And you know, animals are a lot like people, or people are a lot like animals. So you know, the animal world comes with all different types, and she's just the type where she's not very social. She's more of a loner dog. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. She would be a really a good dog if it was like a one-on-one, if you didn't have any other animals in the house. I think her demeanor would be totally different. So
is she happy? Is she happy?
Yeah, she is. She is happy. She's totally content.
Okay.
Yeah, totally content. Yeah.
She's a rescue, and she was mm-hmm. rescued from a horrible breeder situation, and she wasn't treated very nice, and so
mm-hmm.
she lost 15 teeth, and half of her back foot is missing.
Aww.
And so, but now she's just pampered, and she has her little place, and she has her space that the other animals don't go in. And she
mm-hmm.
stays there, and she's very happy, and she eats, and she will let me pet her, but she prefers to just lay by herself. Even when I put her up on the bed with me, she'll go over to a corner and cuddle by herself instead of snuggling with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to be her personality.
You know, yeah, her personality, and I'm going to say probably an imprint from her very, you know, beginning, you know, with being abused. I mean, if she lost all those teeth and a back part of a foot, a paw, that's her conditions were not very good.
No, she lived in a cage, and the only time that they touched her was when they took her out to breed her or take her babies away from her.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, sorry. I know this flaw talk. I'm supposed to swear.
That's all right.
Yeah, that was a horrible situation.
So, so that really makes things a lot more understandable about why she is the way she is, you know. We would probably be very similar to that, too, if we, you know, came from that type of background. We would probably be more of a loner. And, you know, if she wasn't touched or handled, you know, and dogs love touch. They love to be touched and handled and petted and, you know, just even if you have your hand on them, they love that, you know.
Right.
And to have that, an animal that has not been touched like that, you know, that makes perfect sense of what she's going through now, you know. But she's happy, you know, so I'm not going to just say poor Ziva. It's way to go, Ziva, you know. It's a way to go, Ziva, you know.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Out of 200 dogs, I walked into this awful place, and she literally raised her little paw and like waved it at me like, please get me out of here, please, please, please. So it just melted, and so she's mine forever now.
Yes, yours forever. I love that. I love that. Excellent. Well, Mary Ellen, thank you so much for posting Ziva's picture. She is just adorable, absolutely adorable.
Thank you, and thank you for talking to her for me. I felt like I understood her, but she's so special that I just wanted to make sure she was happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. She's very content and very, she found paradise with you, so definitely. Thank you for rescuing her.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen.
Uh-huh.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling in. Bye-bye. Okay. So we'll move along, I know.
Okay.
That is sad that, so many of these dogs are rescues, and they're finding their right homes. It's just getting used to them.
Mm-hmm. finding their forever home, and they know when it's a forever home, and they know if they're up for adoption. They feel that, so mm-hmm. Or if they're fostered and going on to another home. So the finding the forever home, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, Miss Jamie Vera,
and I've got her on the line too.
Excellent.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Hey, Jamie, your dog,
Hi.
Rory, is adorable. Oh, my gosh, she's just been shooter that button. I can't believe it. She just turned 13, and you want to know what makes my kitty is all over here. Come on, Casey. You want to know what makes her most unhappy.
Yeah.
It's funny because most people will ask what makes them most happy. You want to know what makes them most unhappy. So first
right.
of all, let's get into the unhappy. When I tapped in to Rory, I got not enough attention, not enough one-on-one time. Something else that she does not like is loud noises. She prefers not to have the vacuum cleaner next to her. She doesn't like loud noises. She is a sensitive dog when it comes to the ears. And not enough one-on-one time. If she could have you all to her 24/7, her life would just be golden. So, on the flip side of what makes her most unhappy, I asked her, "What makes you most happy?" Her daddy.
Yeah.
So, is she real close to her daddy?
Yeah.
Your husband?
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Yes.
Snuggle time with him, one-on-one time with him is like, it's her everything. The sound of his voice when he talks to her, when he changes it a few octaves, I don't know if he has a nickname for her or he calls her name in a little bit different tone, like, Rory, or just something, that to her is the sweetest thing that she can hear. It's the sweetness in his voice. It's the energy that he puts behind that she picks up on.
Mm-hmm.
And just the tone of his voice, that just brings her she'll come running for it. She just loves that. So that's what Rory had projected to me. And very cute dog. Very, very sweet. Very sweet. Oh, I just love all these babies.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Miss Jamie.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we got about 12 minutes left, so I'm going to be cruising through these now. Okay, if you don't mind, Cindy, I'm just going to keep going here.
Sure. Okay.
Right on. All right. So this next one we have Miss Heidi Harmon. Posted a picture and said, this is Hogan, 11 years old, and it's a beautiful dog, and what's causing his irritation to his legs? Again, I'm going to recommend taking him to a veterinarian so you get the right diagnosis, but when I did tap into your dog's energy, I got food allergy, like a grain. I don't know what kind of, if he's eating a certain grain, if it's corn or an oat of some sort. I feel that it could be contributing to his allergy, his irritation to his legs.
which is a real common and it's a common thing that happens with a food allergy. It can cause hot spots. It can cause just irritation, itchiness, where the dog just wants to bite his leg. So I think it's easily cured if you can, you know, figure out the food, if it is a food allergy that I'm picking up on. So I would really recommend cooking, if you can, cooking his own food. Now, I do that with all my animals. When I had all my animals, they're all passed now except Twinkle. excuse me. Chicken, they love a good chicken, they love a good turkey, and they love white rice. And it's as bland as you can get, the chicken and the white rice, but it is the most non-allergic thing that they can eat. So when I have an animal that's having some type of skin irritation, I'll switch their diet to either turkey and white rice or chicken and white rice for a couple of weeks, and it usually I will see the irritation go away or completely, you know, clear up or at least calm down. So that might be something that you want to run by your veterinarian. And again, chicken and turkey are the most easily digestible, and white rice for dogs. So and they tolerate it real well. It's also a real good mix if your dog is sick and is throwing up other food. It's a real good bland thing to feed them. But Hogan, oh my goodness, sweet, sweet, sweet soul. Absolutely beautiful dog. Very sweet.
Great.
So hopefully that will help. But again, skin irritation, I would definitely, you know, probably go to the vet and get it checked out a little bit further, because, you know, you don't want an itchy dog. I mean, we don't like it when we have an itch, you know. So
yeah.
Definitely get that looked at. We have a couple more here. Let's see. Got one from Miss Diane Hamilton, posted a picture of a boy cat named Sage, three years old. Is Miss Diane on the line too?
Yes, she's on now.
All right.
Hi,
hello,
Diane.
Ms. Diane.
Hi.
How are you? How are you
thank
doing?
You. I'm doing good, honey. I want to thank you for answering. Well, for getting ready to answer my question.
You bet.
Due to some circumstances, him and his brother are actually with someone else who's kind enough to watch them for me. But I just want to know if he's okay and being treated well. And I miss him like heck.
I bet you do. First of all, I want to comment on the name. Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Sage.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful name. Yeah, he is. He's being very well taken care of. And he doesn't want for much. So that tells me that all his needs are being met. He's very content. And is there another cat in the house with him?
With him? Yes,
yeah.
His brother.
Okay. Because sometimes there's a little tiff between them, but it's always a playful exchange.
Yes, they play hard,
yeah.
But they love one another.
They play hard. Well said. Yeah. So, yeah, he's very, very happy. He's being taken care of. So, yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about there. At all. No, he's very happy. Yeah.
Does he miss us at all?
Oh, yeah. And again, you probably miss him. Will you miss him on a human level, which, you know, is a little bit harder to deal with? A cat's able to adjust.
So.
You know, the cat adjusted. But does he miss you? Does he think about you as much as you think of him? Probably not. But believe you, you walk through that door, he will, you know, run to you. He will go, you know, there's my owner. There's my, you know, my forever mom. So,
that's,
you know,
what
cats
I needed
adjust.
To know.
Yeah. They do adjust, but he'll, you know, if, now you do plan on getting the cat back?
Hoping, yes.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, there won't be any adjustment when he comes back to you. It's going to be just like old home week, and he'll be right back home. So,
cool beans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Now I'm curious. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the next person, because I've been really waiting to hear what you have to say about Cassie's kitty.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I literally, I cried when I read that. And if I can read this without bawling, I'm going to, that'll be good.
Yeah,
so should we go
you.
On?
Yep.
You bet. Thank
yeah,
you,
go
Ms.
ahead.
Diane.
Thank you so much for calling in, Diane.
Thank you.
All righty. And Kathy's
okay.
here, too.
Okay, Ms. Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking his picture and talking about him a minute.
Oh, no
we can,
problem.
By the way, we can go over a few minutes because they sat the show up for a little bit longer, but I know you have to go, so whenever you're done, we'll call it at night.
Okay, well, this is the last one posted, unless that other gal who posted late put a question up. But anyway, let's go with this one. Okay, this one, get your Kleenexes out, people. This is from Cassie. This is about Charlie, 3 years old, and the question is, does he remember wandering in the condo while his owner was out of town and the roommate had passed away? Charlie was 4 months old, and the person wasn't found for a week. I have felt for this kitty so much. He began purring for the first time after living with him for a year. Any specific things that I should do? Whew, boy, I cried when I read that.
I had never known a kitty that didn't purr, and it just broke my heart. And all of a sudden, after lots of, you know, love and just staying real calm, he just began purring one day. The owner is sitting here with me, and he's getting choked up. But I, you know, was just so curious. It had to be so traumatic for him.
Yeah.
Is there anything special?
Well, very intense picture. The eyes on that cat is amazing, absolutely amazing. Will adapt to difficult situations with grace and ease like us humans don't even know. You know, they can adapt so well. Now, Charlie impresses upon me that it was necessary for him to go into the survival mode for food, water, basically companionship. It was especially being so young, he had to go into survival mode, which was very necessary being there. The situation has definitely left an imprint on Charlie, so you may find that he may have some trust.
He does. Oh, I can't believe you said that. For the longest time, he would, you know, like start to bite or scratch or paw at someone, and your trust issues. I have goosebumps. You are so right on about that.
Okay. Thank
but,
you.
But I mean, it's him. Yes.
Yeah, thank you for validating that. You know, his survival mode is still right under the surface for him. And, you know, it may be there for the rest of his life. You know, what he experienced was very traumatic, as would it be if it would have happened to you or I. It's not something that we would shake off. It would have left an imprint on us, as well as it did for him. So his survival mode is always right under the surface. You know, he is kind of like in fight or flight at any given moment. If he had to, you know, it's just the way he is. Now, I know, and he will adapt, and he will adjust. And, you know, it's going to take some time and lots of love. And sometimes he can be a loner. And if he's going to be a loner, just let him be alone if he wants his alone time. And he does like having people around him. It does. He prefers to have some. It may answer what he's been through, but
he prefers to have a live one, right?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said he prefers to have a person that is alive around him.
Oh, I'm so glad we can all laugh about that. Yes, he prefers the living.
Yes. Everything Ed has been right on. I mean, he begins to trust more, but he absolutely is a flight or not kitty. And the owner sometimes, when I'm calling the kitty, if he comes, he comes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And the owner, he'll start to go, you know, try and pick him up and bring him to me. And, you know, Charlie's not really into it at that moment. So now that Patrick can hear you, he'll know just to let him be on his own then.
Yeah. So, now,
Let's see. I thought that was the last reading, but I'm you bet. Thank you so much. And boy, what a beautiful cast.
There was one more. Deb Ross was at the end.
Yeah. And I just got my note here, and I'm like, okay, we do have another one here. Miss Deb Ross.
Well, and thank you so much for calling in, Cassie.
Oh,
and
Cassie,
I'll talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll just listen to the rest. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks, Cassie. Bye. Now, Miss Deb Ross posted her baby girl named Hershey, and she's 13 years old, and she's a dog. The smile is absolutely priceless in the picture. She posts that she is going under the knife today for reoccurring cysts, and what is the prognosis? Our prayers are with you for that surgery, and I'm sure by now she's out of surgery and probably doing well. Now, the cyst, again, you know, again, that's more of a veterinarian question, but I do know, like, my dog that had passed on, she used to get cysts, and my veterinarian called them love bumps. That Kayla had so much love in her that it was coming out in bumps. And I always thought that was so cute. The reason why he called them love bumps was because these particular cysts were not of any danger. They were loose. You could take them and you could move them. They were not adhered. They were not fixed cysts, you know, hard where you couldn't move them. So they're usually, if they move, usually they are benign cysts. So my veterinarian would never move the cyst unless, of course, it was like between a toe and it would hurt them to walk, or on a hip and would hurt them to lay down on it or something like that. So I'm going to assume that these cysts were big enough or hurtful enough to have them removed. Now, so as far as the prognosis on the cysts, again, I feel that I'm going to let the veterinarian comment on that. However, I'm going to comment on Herschel being, again, Herschel comes through as your familiar. So, again, Miss Deb, this dog was supposed to be in your life in this lifetime for lessons learned, life lessons learned, for love. Again, you were... it's a bond that's extremely deep. It goes to the soul. It's deeper than all the other bonds that you've had with the other animals. Hershey is definitely here to teach you lessons. Again, a student-teacher thing. Sometimes you're the teacher. A lot of times you're the student. And with this, you just have a knowing, a deep soul-heart connection. It's just a knowing. Herschel also comes through... very grateful, a lot of love with her, a lot of love. So I said, what do you like, Herschel? Well, table scraps, home cooking. So whoever is feeding her off the table and giving her people food is making her very happy. So just the little tiny nibbles like that is, she's very, very, very happy dog with that, very happy dog. So that's what I got on Herschel. Rehearsing.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's great. I love that smile, too. It's kind of amazing. Are you still there? Oh, Robin, sorry. A blog talk put you on hold.
That's fine. I'm still here.
And I looked over. I'm like, okay, how come? Did she drop? And I looked down, and you were in, on hold. So they just kind of flipped you over there. But,
not
yeah,
a problem.
Thank you so much for all the time you've given us. But I've posted again in the chat room. You can find Robinette at www.robinettemeyer.com. She also has a Facebook page that you can join her. In the search bar, put in Robinette Meyer. That's M-E-Y-E-R. Intuitive psychic medium / animal communicator. And so I'm going to let you finish this off if there's something that you wanted to tell people.
I just wanted to tell people that, you know, all of us are intuitive. We're all very intuitive. And when it comes to our animals, just be open. Animals communicate very easily, very simple. They communicate. They will put pictures in your mind. They will put words in your mind. They communicate telepathically. So just pay attention to that. You know, you may be sitting there watching a movie and all of a sudden you find yourself getting up and getting your dog a biscuit and you're like, oh, wow, you know, here's your dog biscuit. Well, the chances are the dog was asking you sitting there watching a movie. So, I mean, they put the thought into your mind. They put words. It could be a simple word. It could be a sentence. Just be open to it. We can all communicate with our animals. Just be open and, you know, ask them questions and see what you hear back. You know, it's one of the easiest ways to start with it. And, Ken, I know you are a natural animal communicator, whether you will admit to that or not. You are definitely natural at it. So.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed, Cindy, I really, really enjoyed doing this, and I would love to do this again if you'll...
I would love for you to do this again. It was so popular. Our room was so busy. And next time, you know, I think people didn't realize, I will next time make sure that I put something in the show description that's more detailed so that people will get it. Because we had a lot of callers that didn't know that it was from the pictures. And so I apologize for that, guys. But... you know, I think this was amazing, and I have to say really quick before I let you go, I completely agree, animals communicate, and real quick, I had a feral cat, the ugliest, most beat-up thing you ever saw in your life, that came to me, and it was horrible-looking at first, but it was skittish, it had a bad paw, and the people around that area... thought that it was mean, and it took me about 9 months of talking and feeding and making sure it had, you know, what it needed to get rid of the swelling, and it became healthy, and it was probably the most loving, more loving than the cat I currently have in my house. It just never had experienced love in its life, but once it did, it couldn't get enough. And
yeah.
So, oh, you know, it was just amazing. It was already old, so it died, but it was time for it to go, but I always felt good about the fact that at least it got love before it died.
Definitely. Bless your heart for doing that and taking him in and showing him love for the first time in his life. That's just remarkable, Cindy. Thank you for doing that.
And thank you again. Yeah. Thank you so much. We will do another one, but we're going to have Robinette back on. We're going to do a show from both the caregivers and the cancer patients' points of view. And that show will be on the 9th of August. And it should be really interesting for any of you out there that are caregivers or that were cancer patients. We're going to keep it real. And so I hope you'll join us again with Robinette. And, again, thanks so much, Robinette. And we'll see you
on
the next.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. All right, bye-bye. And, guys, we have coming up, Anthony Maraca is coming on the 26th. He will be with us to talk about how sometimes our perceived thoughts of negative are actually blessings in disguise. That should be a really interesting show. Then I have Key West musician Danny Hoy on the 2nd. And then on the 16th of August, I have David Sloan, which is going to talk to us about Robert the Doll, which is a known haunted doll here in Key West, and he's done years of research. And so I'm hoping you can join us for our later shows, but for now, without you guys, I wouldn't have a show. Thank you so much for coming, whether you were just listening, calling, or in the chat room. You guys are awesome. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.